Good evening. Welcome to the Solaria Report. Today is January 23rd, 2020. This is Catherine Austin Fitz, and I'm delighted you could join me this week. On the website, don't forget every week we put up another My 21 2020 poster, and they are hysterical. You have to see them. And we collect them all at the missingmoney.solaria.com page, so you can always, if you don't want to look at them on the homepage, you can always go over there and sweep down through all of them. If you haven't checked them out, you just ought to go through all of them. They're funny. They're hysterical. And they point out the fact that $65,000 per person missing is all of our problems. I say $65,000. There's a new announcement from the Department of Defense that they had $35 trillion of adjustments last year. I don't know if those are undocumentable adjustments. I don't know the details yet. I'll take a look. See the FAQ also on the website. If you go to the FAQ, you can find a listing of all the software that we use. So we're discovering on many of the support requests, they reflect problems you're having because you either have poor virus software or not updating virus software. And a lot of people are still using Microsoft or AT&T, and we're often asked what we use, so we posted our list. It's really worth taking the time. The cybersecurity risks are rising, so we really recommend you get yourself some reliable open source software and avoid operating systems that are the target of the majority of viruses and ransomware. And you just, you know, that's easily avoided. And then telecommunications providers that deny you access without notifying you is something something you should avoid. But if you won't avoid them, there's nothing we can do because your telecommunications provider is just not going to be in integrity, especially if you want content that tells you the truth. Events. We have the workshop in Basel coming up on March 21st, and you can pay at the door. You don't need reservations. We're going to be in Montreal on June 6th. That's a Saturday. And we'll be able to announce the location, and I'm hoping in early February. We're working on venues for the following two Saturdays, one in the Wisconsin-Milwaukee, southern Wisconsin area, so that it's contiguous to Chicago and Illinois, and then one in the Amarillo-Lubbock area in Texas. So we're hoping to do those also on two Saturdays in June, and we'll keep you posted. We hope to have those announced in February. I want to just give a big shout out to the subscribers who've helped us identify good locations. We come up with much better locations when you're scouting for us, and we really appreciate the help. Lake Constance Opera Hang is going to be at Lake Constance. That's where Austria, Switzerland, and Germany meet. It's absolutely beautiful. It's a great group coming, and so that's August 2020. If you have any questions, please just let us know at customer support or ask Catherine. Wrap-ups. The first quarter wrap-up, Will ESG Turn the Red Button Green, has arrived. If you are a digital and print subscriber, you should have received your hard copy. If not today, you should certainly have it by mid-next week. So if you don't have it by mid-next week, would you let us know? The state of our currency is coming next. I'm headed to the Netherlands next Friday, and that's the first thing we're going to be working on to get it to the printer there. Our theme tonight is storm warning and a Thucydides trap. There's a new warning. We've certainly gotten Macron's warning and Carney's warning and then Putin's warning, but now we have Herman Greff, who's the CEO of Sberbank. Sberbank is the largest bank in Russia. It's half owned by either the central bank or the government, but it's a hybrid. It has about 310,000 employees, so this is a huge operation, and it's operating not just across Russia, but in a lot of Eastern Europe and Eurasia. So this is somebody who handles a lot of different cultures and economies, and you can tell from the interview that he's someone who's handled just a great complexity of the world. Anyway, we get a warning from him, and this is a very serious warning because what he's saying is that hierarchical organizations, big organizations, are having trouble keeping up with the technological change and adapting. Of course, that's true, and that includes nation states in particular is one of the things he cites. But the other thing he talks about is the fact that the United States has gone from being the leader of the Bretton Woods system and sort of the global comp to being an aggressive competitor on their own, but they still reserve the right to run the global reserve currency and the international organizations and use them as weapons as part of their competition. And the backlash and the resistance that's coming is very strong. And one of the things he says, you can see the direct quote in our hero commentary, which is up at the website because he's our hero of the week. But what he says is there's no way to tell. It's like a rhinoceros who doesn't move in response to the pesky flies until one day it decides to move. And what he believes is it's going to be extremely painful. So it's I take this almost as a more serious and reliable warning than any of the others, because this is the CEO of a very big bank, and they tend not to, they tend, if anything, to be understated. So one of the questions is who can handle the power of new technology. One of the reasons I see things accelerating is you are watching the Anglo-American alliance come apart, and to me that is unthinkable, and that is, for America, to me, very frightening. We have an announcement from the BIS. They have created a cryptocurrency task force that is launching with the Swiss National Bank, Sweden, the UK, and Canada, and it is without the Fed. Now, one of the reasons I find, oh, and it's the ECB. One of the reasons I find this very interesting is you're talking, if you get all of those players together and they were to jointly do a cryptocurrency, that is a group of people who will be considered more mature and adult on a global stage than the United States. And if they did it right, they could draw huge liquidity away from the dollar. And they could do it remarkably quickly. Again, you've got the ECB, you've got the Swiss National Bank, you've got the BIS, you've got the Bank of Canada, the Bank of England. That's interesting. I put the notes in the script, but a very clever subscriber, one of our smartest, put in a long description of how Mark Carney ties all these organizations together. And it wouldn't surprise me if, in fact, this was Carney's doing. Unfortunately, because Carney comes out of Goldman Sachs, you also worry that it might be Goldman Sachs's doing. The UK foreign minister, I posted this about a week ago, came out and said the UK would have to make its own way. I think we talked about it last week. With Brexit going forward on January 31st, the hope was that the UK and Britain would do a fast trade deal. Now it looks like they're going to do a fast trade war. And between the foreign minister, the trade situation, and the task force at the BIS, you're looking at this and thinking, oh my God, could the Anglo-American alliance really come apart? That's extraordinary. Now, if it does, one of the reasons will be that I think between both tensions with the Trump administration and tensions with the Democrats, the Brits are tearing their hair out. The question on an impeachment, of course, I believe the impeachment is white out. I don't think the impeachment is about the impeachment at all. I think the impeachment is about covering up what's really going on. We have an announcement that DOD has $35 trillion of adjustments in their last fiscal year. And my question is the U.S. simply asset stripping assets anywhere that our global armies are present with DOD laundering and the Fed accommodating? And that includes asset stripping the U.S. I said when FASB 56 was passed, that gives the ability to basically take all the assets in the U.S. government and move them out into private hands. And given that the S&P was up 31% last year, it wouldn't surprise me if that was a big factor in driving it up. Remember, you move assets into a private corporation with no remuneration going the other way, you're going to get a hell of an uptick on their stock. You know, if you look at what's going on with the DOD finances, it looks like there is no accounting system. What there is a giant sucking sound out of any place we have military present and out of our pension funds and into God knows where. So remember, the financial coup started under the last impeachment of Bill Clinton. And if you look at the financial controls that got destroyed during that impeachment, it looks to me like we have a meaningful chance that we're looking at a major cut and run. If you look at Putin's reorganization, it looked to me like he's preparing either for major economic warfare or physical war at both. At this point, it is absolutely possible that Israel and Iran could start a nuclear war. And it's one of the things I want to talk about with Saker. I'm going to record him the week after next. And I think that's going to be a very rich and serious conversation about what's going on in the Middle East. At this point, I must tell you that if you look at the federal finances, the money is completely and utterly out of control. And the time is coming when citizens are going to have to restore the rule of law. Southern Virginia is leading the way. We saw the march this week of 20 to 50,000 people carrying their guns, marching into Richmond. There was real concern that there were going to be false flags or other sort of covert operations and dirty tricks. Nothing happened. It was very peaceful and calm. There were plenty of sheriffs apparently making it clear that they were there because they wanted to communicate to the governor that they would not enforce unconstitutional state laws. And of course, it's the sheriff's right to decide that. I think it's coming when you're going to need counties and towns like that to start asserting common law right of offset. Because if the money that we are spending, we're sending through taxes or through pension fund purchases or retirement fund purchases, or, you know, there's a wide body of governmental entities buying treasury securities. If all that money is being soaked up and used in illegal ways or transferred into private hands, you know, that's going to be the biggest bank robbery of all time. But if that's happening, the time is coming when we're going to have to assert a common law right of offset or use other strategies to make sure the money is lawfully spent. It is, you know, under the Constitution, we are citizens, and we have a legal responsibility to make sure the laws are obeyed. And the reality is you cannot afford to pay organized crime that much money. You can't afford to transfer your retirement savings to organized crime and think anything good is going to come of it. So this is going to come down to who's your sheriff, who's your banker, who's your farmer, where's your food come from? So please think local, stop worrying about anything going on at the federal level, and get to know your sheriff, and get to understand what's happening in the local elections, and get to know who your local leadership is. If you're not in a place where you can do that, or there's a critical mass of grounded people who are sufficiently resilient to deal with real trouble, then you need to seriously consider moving into some place where there are, especially if they're people you know and if you can comfortably do it. But you really need to start completely focusing on local. When it comes to the federal elections, you can wait until mid to late October before you decide who you're going to vote for, what you're going to do. If you get a chance to go to a town hall meeting for your senator or congressman, you know, absolutely go. Ask them where the $21 trillion is. Start to hold them accountable. Money in markets. I'm working with a Wednesday close. So again, this is year to date. And so we've had 23 days in the year. So very short period, but things are going grand again. The U.S. dollar index now up 1.3% for the year. It's at 97.29. Fixed income doing swimmingly. The long treasury at 3.31%. The intermediate 1.4%. The bond aggregate almost 1%, and junk about 0.5%. Phew, finally. that's an amazing performance if you look at the squeeze that's coming in the corporate bond market this year. If you look at equities, FASB 56 and $32 trillion of DOD adjustments says to me that it is not at all surprising that the securities markets are going up when there's that much cash to buy stocks and securities or assets to transfer into companies that are publicly traded or income to run through financial statements. You know, that can fill up a lot of buckets and holes. I'll never forget when I drove up to Washington many, many years ago. Kelly O'Meara and I were working on the missing money story. You know, then it was $4 or $5 trillion. And we were in a period when all the big states were complaining that they had very massive deficits, and you had big Wall Street analysts saying, you know, we were going to see 200 municipal bankruptcies. And I got to Kelly's house. It took me 2 days to drive up. And on the second day, all the states went silent and then started to announce, just as I was getting there, that they had solved the deficit problem and there was no problem. And it was a miracle. You're like, what? How could that be? What you know, California had a $36 billion projected deficit. And Kelly, I got to Kelly's house and she said, I swear, they're just taking money out of the federal government and laundering it out and just giving the states money. And I looked at her and I said, Kelly, it's impossible. You can't have a complete collapse of financial controls to that extent. And then she looked at me and she said, you know, it's the only possible explanation. And I looked at her and I said, it can't possibly be that bad. And she said, I think it is. I remember putting my head in my hands and saying, oh, this is really bad. But at this point, if you have $35 trillion of adjustments, that's more than the entire size of the U.S. stock market. It's more than the entire size of the U.S. GDP. I mean, what we're talking about is a no accounting system. They're trying to say there's no sign of fraud. It's all just accounting, which, of course, is, talk about a PR whiteout. And, of course, the number is so much more significant than the $21 trillion. That helps with the whiteout. But I would say at this point we're pretty far out of control, and the question is, where is the money landing up and how much of it is emptying out of, you know, the retirement savings of the and the pension funds of the people who are listening to this? Whatever is going on, the swap power continues to blossom in this administration, but the new vision is Fortress America. So this means the markets are likely to continue to rise until the global pushback is upon us. And as Greff said, there's no way to tell. It could happen any day or it could happen in years. What could rock that, of course, is Iran and Israel starting a nuclear war. The markets could be extremely volatile, clearly. So I would say that the inflation continues and the markets continue to be in play, and real estate continue to be a place that's going to soak up a lot of that inflation. Europe, U.S., and Japan are all on board for continued major financial methadone. And if you listen to both sides in the United States, if the political house, Republican and Democrat, they have very different visions of what you're going to do with that financial methadone, but they're all on board for massive amounts of financial methadone. The biggest excuse, of course, being climate change. That's what we're seeing in Europe, a $1 trillion investment program. So it's equity markets that are going to soak up a lot of that along with real estate. And that, remember, with the equity markets, if you've read Megacities, you know there's going to be and continue to be a great effort to securitize all that real estate. Space, the Internet of Things, and new energy technology, I believe, are all inspiring a land rush. So S&P now up 3%, the home builders up 4%, which says to me the market thinks that Mnuchin's housing and mortgage credit tsunami that he's planning is absolutely on. The European ETF up 17 basis points for the year, so almost flat. Germany up 1.35%, developed market up 0.75%. The large cap China is down 37 basis points. And the small caps, 1.94%. The new virus, I think, has affected that. Emerging markets up 1.25%. The commodities index down 3.1%. And gold up 2.72%. And silver down 12 basis points. So silver kind of flat. And then oil is down 8.83%. So let's turn to some of the other top stories. The U.S. is not listening to what Jim Mattis said before he left. During his testimony when he was being confirmed, he said, you know, it's, you don't want to bet the ranch on force in the military. And Mattis was a big guy on making sure you had allies. Well, the U.S. has decided to compete with all of our allies. So I think the feeling is with space weaponry and space weaponized and our control of the oceans, we think we can continue to dominate. There's sort of back and forth about the fact this week that that's violating our peace treaty, but it's clear that the U.S. is leading the way. The problem is, and this is part of my concern about the impeachment squeeze on Trump, we have a real Ziocon problem on both sides of the aisle, and it's really a psychopathic problem. And the reality is those folks could destroy America because they've clearly, you know, that swamp is part of the swamp has grown and they've got the bit in their teeth and Trump is doing their bidding. Is it as much as Clinton would have done? I'm not sure, but it's a very ugly picture. We had Pompeo come out and make a comment that the assassination of Soleimani reflected the U.S. change in policy to proactive deterrence through assassination. Well, if you're Xi Jinping or Putin, what it sounds like is you reserve the right to send a drone and kill them too. It was kind of, you know, you listen to it and you say, did he really say that? Trump went to Davos again, Davos this week, and spoke about growth and said it was a mistake to go for climate change doom. He warned against climate change doom, and it was very interesting. Ferguson from the Hoover Institute gave a very interesting interview that I posted on the website and is in my Twitter feed, where he said that Trump was right about growth, and you know all the billionaires were admitting it, that maybe Trump was right and that climate change had gone a little bit too far. Greta Thunberg was in the audience, and one of the things Ferguson said that was quite funny and quite charming was, you know, what's the point of talking about climate change like we're going to fix it? The reality is most of the increased CO2, you know, in the last 10, 20 years has come from China and India, and unless you're out and, you know, unless China and India are going to play ball, this is all a joke. You know, it's almost like the Trump is finally managing to break the trance. Nobody likes his style, but at least he's beginning to break the trance. You know, he keeps bringing up math and statistics and, you know, unpleasant reality. Anyway, it was clear from the comments at Davos that the leadership was saying, okay, well, we don't like his style, but he is getting performance. And interestingly enough, the new EU president came out and announced they want action from China on CO2. So, you know, God love him, Trump is getting a little movement there. The White House announced that they're considering changing the overseas bribe law. So I guess American multinationals are free to run around the world and bribe everybody. You know, you just couldn't make this stuff up right in the middle of when the Ukraine is going on. So it's not like that hasn't been going on all along. But I looked at it and I said, you know, is it because the buyback game is up? They need even yet another way to pump earnings. So we really are going full on organized crime globally. It's quite amazing. I think it's unbelievably dangerous, and I'm sure the international community does. And the question is, you know, how do we get to a point where we have a critical mass supporting the rule of law? If you look at that little task force over at the BIS, believe it or not, that's a group of people who could make it so. So let's hope they realize that unless there's trust in the law, no currency has any value. So hopefully they're going to grapple with what is probably the most important issue. Big warning, the JEDI contract has been let. The DOD just issued a $1 million training order. That's, I'm sure, to help in the process of onboarding Microsoft on the contract. In the meantime, just as that was happening, Microsoft came out and demanded everybody had to upgrade Windows 10. What I'm telling you is when the JEDI contract goes into effect, the ability to radically re-engineer the U.S. government using the Amazon cloud and the Microsoft cloud is going to be phenomenal. Will it happen? I don't know, but it could. And that is one important reason. Get off Microsoft. Get off Microsoft. Now, I've got all Microsoft deleted from my laptop with the one exception of Skype, which some of the people I do internet shows with use. I tried to convert to Wire, and simply every time I tried to use it in the U.S. with a group of people, the NSA and the Salt Lake City NSA Center would make it impossible, and the Wire's folks couldn't overcome that. So I had to give up and go back to using Skype. So I'm trying to find a replacement for Skype, but other than that, let's do everything we can to wipe Microsoft off, because I think you don't want to be hooked up. And, you know, I've continued to try and wean myself completely from Amazon. And it's just a matter of finding enough websites where you really can find the books I'm looking for. You know, before that all goes live, I want to be as far away from both of those characters as I can be. As I said, the developments in Virginia were very positive. We had a state senator come out and warn about sort of the Operation Gladio COINTELPRO tactics that were in the works. And yet it went off very smoothly and quietly. There was no funny business, and there's probably too many competent sheriffs around. On the take action side, I'll say more when I publish the Take Action 2020. But if there is one reform we need in this country, it is we need to outlaw dual citizen, dual passports for major government leadership or people in the legislature. You know, a lot of the funny business we're watching is as a result of dual passport citizens and the extraordinary sort of games behind those groups. So, and again, a lot of that is SIOCON. We see a real political mess. Bloomberg running for the Democratic nominee on the presidential campaign. He's been very inspired by Trump's success, thinking, I'm better than Trump, why can't I do this? And he's outspending everybody by tremendous amounts of money, not surprisingly. But the real big mess, believe it or not, comes in with the British royals this week. Hillary Clinton went and met with Meghan Markle in November, and they had an all-day girls' day, apparently. And she persuaded Meghan that her problems with the press really had to do with racism and sexism. It's more of this drama queen BS that I think causes huge divide and conquer and problems. Now, the British royals have a lot of reasons to be very frustrated with Hillary Clinton because my guess is, whether it was British intelligence or the royals, they did a lot to support the Clinton in the last election, and they've gotten their head handed to them by the Democrats' refusal to move on and open up the wound. And so all the Christopher Steele has come out, and it's put a lot of mud across the British intelligence and sort of the British establishment. So Hillary Clinton made a huge mess, and the Democrats with Hillary Clinton kept the mess going for the last 3 years. And so if you're the Brits, you'd be unbelievably frustrated. Well, now Hillary comes over, and now this is after the Clinton Foundation, which was very much interwoven with Epstein, makes a huge mess with Prince Andrew. And right after that, all finally gets settled down by Epstein's miraculous suiciding. What happens next? But Meghan Markle and Harry, Meghan really announced without working it out with the palace first, that they're resigning from royal life. And then Meghan flies immediately to Canada and stays at the mansion of a Clinton Foundation board member. And then shortly thereafter locks up a deal with who else but Disney, is what is reported by the British press this week. If you're the Queen, I would say your frustration with the Clintons and the Democrats would be beyond all get out. If you look at sort of the turn the Brits have made, whether on the BIS task force, the words of the foreign minister, or now the squabble over the trade war, I think there is unbelievable alienation in the British establishment from the Americans. And that is very dangerous. It's certainly much more dangerous for America than I think America realizes. Did MBS have Bezos hacked? Lots of coverage over the last 2 days. Both experts at the UN and the experts that Bezos hired are saying it looks like it might have been software coming through the Saudis and the Saudi prince, which is extraordinary. I just tweeted out an article from Financial Times that was saying, this is terrible, how can you trust anybody? And I said, wait, billions of people have been, you know, hacked for decades. Where have you been? All of a sudden it happens to a billionaire and it's a crisis? But it's funny that it's, you know, it's, of course, reaching everybody. We knew that. Finally, I put the article up. There's one nimnut in London who's been running around announcing that we don't need farmers because we can grow 100% of our food in the lab. This is the next biotech nightmare. If he's saying it, I'm sure the whole farm and biotech industry is licking their chops and thinking they can do this. And somehow this is supposed to be good on climate change. It's such a psychopathic vision. It reflects such a limited understanding. Only hypermaterialists could come up with this. They have no understanding of our spiritual, energetic, or biophysical existence. It's just, it's hypermaterialism right into a level of stupidity that it's very hard to comment without getting unbelievably sarcastic. The bottom line on this week is you are seeing a real consensus evolve globally that the U.S. has adopted a stance of we're competing in a multipolar world, but given our military dominance, we reserve the right to maintain and control the reserve currency and the international organizations and toll booth you with them, including with economic sanctions, and use that to be very aggressive on trade. And the world is coming back and saying, no. You don't get to be the framework if you're just another competitor. If you want to be just another competitor, then we need international payment mechanisms and currencies that respond evenly to all players, all parties. Now, that's a squabble, as Gref said, that could go on for years, or it could turn into a crisis overnight. But we're facing economic war, we're facing covert war, it could break out into open war. And the rule of law continues to break down in the U.S. If you look at the show that's been going on in Congress, it reflects a real breakdown in the rule of law. There is too much organized crime, we are too financially dependent on organized crime, and the world is watching. And the biggest problem is not Trump right now. I think the biggest problem globally has been the behavior of the Democrats and the Democratic candidates. One good development with the Democratic candidates is that Tulsi Gabbard has now sued Hillary Clinton for $50 million for defamation, her implication that Tulsi Gabbard was hooked up somehow with the Russians. The Russians were going to engineer her moving forward. Ah, God, wouldn't I love to see Tulsi win that lawsuit. What you've got in the United States is you've got combined political leadership in the two parties that can't get together, compromise, and create and make and keep coherent policies. So there's no way you can do a deal with America because American deals don't hold and don't keep. And so they've become, on the world stage, sort of a childish and incoherent party that you can't make enduring arrangements with. And that's a very, very, very bad combination. Whatever changes happen in the U.S. security umbrella or the dollar system, it's going to significantly impact the entire world. Most everyone's part of the dollar bubble and this massive monetary and fiscal experiment. One last note, we had a subscriber post a comment on the virus outbreak in China, and just thought I'd read it to you. It's in subscriber input because it's so instructive, something we should all take into account. The quarantine of Wuhan, China, and its neighboring cities is unprecedented. It's 18 million people so far within the no-travel zone. Most people are already traveled home for the Chinese New Year holidays. The labor force is at its lowest this week. It's amazing how fast a large store can be cleared out of key items when people get in a mild panic, and it's not entirely clear how fast the stores can restock, given that there are not enough drivers, etc. I imagine people will be hesitant to return to work in big cities if the situation gathers momentum in the next week, which it seems it's certainly happening now. The psychology of such events is even more intense than the actual risk of the virus. Everyone should do a thought exercise of what would happen if the world stopped for a week and try to address the big risk issues. You don't have to go full prepper mode, but having a buffer of key items and addressing the major risks goes a long way. Things can get weird fast. I couldn't agree more. I would say a month. If you look at how long the people in Kentucky went without power when they got that big power shortage, or what happened to the folks in Katrina. And if you prepare for a week, make sure you can prepare for a week where you are, or prepare for a week on the road. You may have to jump in the car and be off. I've got it set up so I can, you know, I've got part of my disaster recovery kit in the car all the time, but I can get the other parts in real fast and be off. Tomorrow is Chinese New Year's. It's the year of the rat, and it's going to be an interesting year. According to the Chinese zodiac calendars, the rat likes a quiet and peaceful year. Not this year. Rat's going to have to adapt. Our hero this week is Herman Greff, who's the CEO of Sberbank. I published a link to his recent interview in TASS, and he is the one who issued the warning. I put a quote in the hero commentary, and also it's in the notes. Let me just read you a few selections. The interviewer says to him, "What do you foresee in this year that just got underway?" And he says, "Nothing optimistic." And the interviewer says, "Only for Russia or for the whole world?" And Greff says, "We all live in one single and very fragile building. This is a very sensitive subject. You know, macroeconomics can be likened to a large animal, an elephant or a rhinoceros. It may long stay patient, pestered by flies, mosquitoes, and birds. Such a giant is too lazy to react to every trivial thing. But there comes a point when it may lose temper, get up and shake its shoulders, causing everyone to run helter-skelter and vanish in an instant. The same goes for macroeconomics. It's very hard to tear down the current trend. But if it starts to budge, whole system may go out of control. Nobody knows when this may happen. It could occur at any moment. Humanity has accumulated a very large negative potential, and it is beginning to systematically destroy the condition it had been moving towards for the past half a century. I don't believe that this hocus-pocus won't have consequences. Regrettably, we will be inevitably confronted with something like this. We should brace for the collapse of the existing world order. It will be very painful." Then he keeps going. He says, "It is obvious that neither the existing world order nor the national managerial and administration models will last much longer. The key contradiction today is between the existing pyramidal decision-making systems and the exponential growth and the speed of change. The amount of change as it is, the capacity for pyramidal decision-making systems is rather limited. It is unable to maintain the adequacy of the system as such." Then he talks about the growing confrontation between the United States and China. "An explosion will be imminent unless the international and national institutions are reformatted. It is a very sad story. Apparently humanity will have to live through hard times again and to suffer a lot to realize the preciousness of the world that once we had. The pace of development of modern technologies and the linear development of human mentality are in dramatic conflict. Everything has to be restored to balance. All the rest is a consequence of this main conflict." And then he gives some great advice. The interviewer says, "What is to be awaited?" And Greff says, "What's the point in waiting? We should go on living. You'll never guess what the last drop will be like. The crisis strikes later than we expected it and before we are prepared for it, the saying goes." So another very serious warning and something to take seriously as we plan to have greater resiliency for the year to come. Our blast from the past is Narco Dollars for Beginners. It was a very famous article I wrote in 2001. Kind of rocketed around the world. It was meant to be a light, funny description of the intersection between organized crime and basically Washington and Wall Street. And I'm constantly reminded as I work on deep state tactics and discuss it with people, it is imperative to understand the history of the narcotics business, narcotics trafficking globally and in the United States if you want to understand the national security state and the deep state. You cannot understand the deep state and how it networks places without understanding the history and the growth of narcotics and the war on drugs. They're two sides of the same coin. And if you want to take a deep dive on narcotics trafficking, we have an old audio seminar And of course, if you read the Dylan Reed book, there's lots of information there and some great references in the Resource Center if you're interested. Take action. So as we have a blast for the past, I'm trying to also bring something to your attention for take action. I just used this recently, but I want to use it again. It's the detox Solaria report we did on how to detox with Dr. Laura Thompson. And we do a survey of all the different modalities that I've used or she used for detox. So it's a good overview. And people keep asking me about detox. I think environmental pollution is a problem we all share, and we just need to be detoxing from now until forevermore. Let's go to the movies. I wanted to point out the section of the Deep State Tactics on the 2019 annual wrap-up page. We have a movie section, movies and documentaries, and I just wanted to quickly walk through them because if you want to understand the deep state, there's so many great movies to do it. It's a matter of knowing sort of what the strength is of the different ones. So let me run through it quickly. If you go to Deep State Tactics, it's deepstate.solaria.com. You can link to it from the Deep State commentary on the homepage. And if you go that way, you should automatically log in. If you just go Deep State Tactics section and then drop down, the last link is to the Deep State Tactics 101 movies and documentaries. Okay, first one is Spectre. You can learn a lot by watching all the James Bond movies. It's a lot on space. The important thing in Spectre is a scary vision of the global surveillance network. It's all about what the satellites can do and who controls them. And to see the importance of that. Again, the Bonds have always been very good on space. Lots of information about space, even about the secret space program. The next one is Hannah, which is the story of a young woman who was in part of a special breeding program by the intelligence agencies, and then who escaped from the program with her handler and was raised by her handler, and then is trained to go back in and survive, has basically a food fight with Kate Blanchett, and who's the CIA person who was in charge of the original special breeding program. And it's worth noting because these kinds of special breeding programs are going on, and it's worth knowing about it. Snowden is the movie about Edward Snowden, and I think both the documentaries and movies on Snowden are very useful to watch because you get a lot of information about the problems with the surveillance systems and the extraordinary corruption of these surveillance systems. The Hunger Games is obviously a very popular series of three movies that are about highly centralized fascist government playing different regions off against each other. It's a great example of divide and conquer. And there's sort of lots of information about tactics in it. The next one is Vice, which was the movie of the year last year, the year before in 2018. It's about Dick Cheney, and it intimates far more than you would think that a sort of A-grade Hollywood movie could get away with. But if you want to get a good feel for Dick Cheney, it does a great job. The Whistleblower is the story. It's based on a true story about a whistleblower who was involved in accusing or whistleblowing sex slave trafficking by DynCorp in Eastern Europe. There are several documented cases of human trafficking and sex slave trafficking by DynCorp. And it was always remarkable when that happened because they just kept getting contracts. So, anyway, but this one is pretty well done. I put in The Equalizer 2. There are two Equalizers movies. Denzel Washington, who I love, and they're quite good action films. But I put them in because they do a very good job of showing you the danger of corporate contractors and mercenaries. Official Secrets, I described last week. It's the story of a whistleblower who outed basically the British and the Americans for using their surveillance capacity to dig up dirt to blackmail people into voting for the war in Iraq. It's also great entertainment. But it shows you a very good example of the fact that in the Western world, the deep state doesn't just have the ability to do whatever they want. The rule of law does matter. And in this case, the whistleblower in question, Catherine Gunn, was able to get representation that did an extraordinary job. And there's a wonderful ending to this movie that really informs real solutions. I don't want to give it away because I would say you should watch the movie. Angel Has Fallen is an action movie that describes an effort to try and frame a Secret Service agent by essentially a plot against the existing government and president by, you got it, more corporate contractors. The corporate contractor theme is clearly coming through. It's corporate contractors and corporate mercenaries are a big problem. And I agree, they are a very big problem. Then we have a section called previously recommended movies. So these are movies we've used before, but they're still great for this purpose. One is the latest Jason Bourne movie. One is the Manchurian Candidate that gets into mind control and the use of mind control agents by the intelligence agencies. One of my favorite, They Live, an old one from 1988. But one of the things it gets into is the extraordinary difference between, you know, two groups of people in society. One really has no empathy for humans, and the other can't quite figure out what's going on. And it does a lot about the role of technology. So you have these invisible towers that put out these invisible rays that are really mind control. Anyway, so it gets into mind control in a very big way. It's supposed to be a science fiction movie, but you wonder how much of it's true. Anyway, it's quite good. They Live. The Kingsman and The Cell are next. Both of them are not movies I would recommend as movies, but they show you the idea of using cell technology to weaponize populations. And I think that technology is happening and it's being prototyped, and we need to understand it and know how we're going to deal with it. So I recommend those. Then Kill the Messenger, the story of Gary Webb, fictional version of his life. I think that's understanding the role of narcotics trafficking in the deep state is very important, so I recommend that. Eyes Wide Shut takes you into the secret societies and shows you, you know, a whole parallel universe that is not subject to our laws of people who are very rich, very powerful, and really see themselves as being a separate civilization, and it gives you the feel for that world. Also, how extraordinary their technology is. I've experienced it, and I tell you, it's remarkable. The International is, with Clive Owens, is a fantastic movie to help you understand how debt is a very critical part of the control system on planet Earth and how it works, and the intersection between debt and war. This one, if you haven't seen it, you really need to understand it. It also shows you how, at a certain level, people are free to kill with impunity. La Femme Nikita, there's several versions of La Femme Nikita. There's the original French one, which I put here. And then below it is going to be the TV series that was done in North America. And then there's a American one, Point of No Return with Bridget Fonda, which is an Americanized version of La Femme Nikita. What La Femme Nikita does is it shows you a lot of the different tactics used in covert operations. And so the TV series is just a primer in covert operation tactics. Margin Call is a favorite of mine on the financial markets. You see the role of the Federal Credit and sort of the games that get played in the financial markets, because it really is increasingly like warfare. And they're describing the intersection of the fixed income markets with, you know, you don't see it blatantly, but with the deep state. So because all of the credit is basically engineered from Washington anyway, but it sort of takes you into the kind of operation that would be dealing with the Exchange Stabilization Fund. Wag the Dog is very famous. We all know it. And it's on the, you know, the creation of the reality TV show to lead politics. The propaganda is really this bad. So then, of course, my favorite, Enemy of the State, that helps you understand, as of 1998, where the NSA technology had been a couple years before. It's Will Smith and Gene Hackman. Will Smith in the movie basically is, his office is contiguous to exactly where my office was in Washington. And if you look at what happened to him, it was sort of a sped up version of what happened to me. And the moral of the story is if you live in the overt world and start dealing with all this stuff, you need to find Gene Hackman and get him to teach you about how the world really works. I used to call it my training movie. The next is Godfather 1, 2, and 3. And if you want to understand the U.S. economy as of 1979, boom, there it is. Sit down on a Saturday, watch them all three right in a row. Get out your favorite drinks and popcorn. It's quite an education in the real economics of America up until that point. TV series Yellowstone, it was our movie of the year this year. It comes down to the final show in the second season, and the question is, the Beck brothers are the dirtiest characters. Who's going to finally stop the Beck brothers? And that county, that's a question that's going to hit every county in America, every region in the world. You know, if you watch the Zicon problem in America, you know, this is basically a problem of organized crime. This is a people who've been acting outside of the law with impunity for a long, long time. And the question is, okay, and we've been financing them with our pension funds, with our taxes, with our purchases. We've been financing them. We've been banking with them. We've been supporting all of this. And the question is, you know, who's going to fight back? Because we're going to have to. So watch Yellowstone and think about, okay, who's gonna tell the Beck boys they can't keep stealing and killing and breaking the law? Deep State is a series on Fox, and it's got some interesting parts, but it gets back to the same issue. You've got mercenaries and corporate contractors, and they do not have the same attitude or culture as government, and it's a problem. Pine Gap is a TV series set in Alice Springs, which is the big Five Eyes echelon operation jointly run by Australia and the U.S. in the middle of the Australian continent. And it's interesting because it shows the tension between that Australia has to experience between a rising China and its longstanding role in the Anglo-American alliance. And you see the different day-to-day tensions that occur. Game of Thrones, I added. Game of Thrones, sometimes you think that Game of Thrones just made it so that the people in the deep state could kind of say to the general population, see, it's not so easy running things. You can just see it takes you into the leadership role and says, you know, life managing the general population is not as much fun as you think. Anyway, I wanted to keep it in because the message from Game of Thrones for many, many seasons is whoever can deliver fire from the sky wins. And I think that's a very important subliminal message. Of course, the establishment never does something like fires unless they warn you what they're going to do. And you almost wonder if Game of Thrones wasn't a big 8-season warning about fire from the sky. Previously recommended TV shows included The Wire. If you want to understand the drug business basically from the ground up through the dealers into the police, it's excellent. Then the next one is Intelligence, which takes you from the police up into the intelligence agencies. And then they started to go into somebody who looked remarkably like the Carlyle Group and suddenly got shut down mid-season. The next is the Northern American La Femme Nikita, which is 5 seasons, which really is a primer on covert operations tactics. If you're interested in those kind of tactics, it's just got a wealth of information, an endless series of every trick in the book. The Worker Trilogy, if you want to understand real intelligence, this is about a British intelligence officer who is really superb at intelligence. This is a man who knows the game. He knows how to use information and very, very astutely. His name is Johnny Walker. And there are 3 movies in the series, and it's so remarkable. It's the British basically telling the Americans to grow up. And it's pretty well done and funny. It's great entertainment. It's one of my favorite. Battlestar Galactica was a 5-year running TV show based on a Battlestar Galactica movie. It is wonderful because it takes you through the different issues of governance, both on the political side and the military side, working together, and shows you many of the different problems of politics, particularly when you're dealing with war and stress. And you can get many sort of intimations of some of the challenges that both the leadership and the deep state are dealing with. Blacklist is a series that I have not watched in full. They have a former enforcement officer who goes rogue, goes into the criminal world, becomes disillusioned, comes back and offers to help the FBI. You know, and it's sort of very conspiratorial. You know, they every week they engage in another sort of conspiratorial adventure. Borgen is one of my favorite TV series. It's Danish, and it covers a prime minister's rise to power. But one of the things you run into is, I think it was in the second season, the CIA shows up and makes a mess all across Denmark. And you definitely, they're also dealing with all sorts of issues off and on in this series, as well as there's another great series in the Danes put out called The Eagle, on the problems of organized crime, and you kind of get into that aspect. Okay, documentaries and interviews. The Minds of Men was documentary of the year last year on the Salier Report. You cannot understand the deep state and their relationship with the general population unless you understand mind control. And to me, this is the number one best documentary ever made. It takes you from World War II into the 70s, and I'm hoping Melissa and Aaron will bring us, you know, continue and do another one that takes us further into the current days. 0 Days is a must-watch. It's the story of the NSA working with Israel to develop the Stuxnet virus. You see a lot of the challenges of working with Israel, but you also see the power of this technology. So I would encourage you to watch it. To me, it's really a must-watch. The next is The United States of Alec, one of the ways that laws are engineered across America, and I'm sure there's similar tactics elsewhere, is through an association, the American Legislative Exchange Council. Basically, corporations take private counsel, they write up templates, and it gets spread around and goes, suddenly pops up state to state to state. You'll see a little bit more about that in the documentary Hot Coffee, which I've often recommended. The next is The Spiderwebs, Britain's Second Empire. That's the story of the British offshore havens, which is such a powerful and important part of the Anglo-American alliance. Remember, as all the money went missing, the $21 trillion, suddenly an equivalent amount exploded in the offshore havens. Mirage Men is a documentary about deep secret black programs and the use of disinformation to protect them. And it's an incredible piece of work and story, and you see what an amazing puzzle palace is constructed to try and protect the real operations. Another one I strongly recommend. Then in the list of previously recommended documentaries and interviews, one, Ed Griffin on the Tax Exempt Foundation. If you want to understand the foundations and endowments, that is a must watch. It's really priceless. Then there's a series on the Exchange Stabilization Fund. It's very important to understand the Exchange Stabilization Fund, to understand the what I call the financial bazooka, which is such an important part of our of the U.S. maintaining the reserve currency status. Inside Job is an analysis of the financial meltdown. It's got some good footage. It misses a lot of the deepest parts. The next is Hot Coffee, which talks about tort reform and sort of how the deep state engineers real big changes in the law, very invisibly and very quiet, state by state by state. We're seeing the same war go on with the vaccine mandate, state by state by state. Then Richard Dolan's False Flag series at Gaia TV. You have to understand the use of false flags to understand sort of covert operations and how reality is sort of engineered and manipulated. Shut Up and Sing is the story of the Dixie Chicks who tried to oppose the war in Iraq. And boy, you want to see how the deep state, you know, turns on the turns on the Shriek-O-Meter and goes after people. It's a fabulous example, as is Sputnik Mania, which is the last one. It's the story of the Soviets putting up the first satellites, and the Shriek-O-Meter turned on Eisenhower and tried to give him control of NASA and space to the military, and he wouldn't do it. He wanted a civilian agency. And watching Eisenhower stand down the Shriek-O-Meter is a hoot. Talk about a very astute politician. There he was. But then Eisenhower was the general who won World War II. And, you know, if you've been through that, you know real trouble. And so the Shriek-O-Meter doesn't seem necessarily as scary. Okay, so a great lineup of movies. If you haven't looked at the back of any of our annual wrap-ups, you can see it in the, which section is it in? Under And the Winners Are. We put a list of all the movies and documentaries we've recommended in Let's Go to the Movies from the very beginning. It's a great list. If you pull it out, you can just find, you know, great stuff. Now, it just lists all the names and the dates, but you can go to the commentaries at the website or the library and hear or see what we said about them and why we chose them and why we thought it was useful. Okay, our interview tonight is on three parts of the deep state tactics. We talk about politics, culture, and consumerism. And then next week, we're going to finish off the entire series covering cybersecurity, covert operations and crime, targeting of children, the beatdowns, company, neighborhood, cohort, and then hard times, my list of personal worst, helpful strategies, closing and thoughts. So obviously we're covering a tremendous amount of material, but if you haven't listened to the first five parts, I'd recommend you start there. Ask Catherine. Hi, Catherine. I've recently been reevaluating my supplement intake, and then the subscriber goes on to describe, we've had different pieces on vitamin D, some very enthusiastic about megadosing vitamin D, others saying it's very dangerous. And there's very interesting links and ideas that he writes out here. They're all in the notes. And says, I'm curious how you reconcile all this in your regimen. And the honest truth is I haven't reconciled it. I've stopped taking much vitamin D, but it's on my list to try and reconcile. So your comments were very timely and very valuable. And I would appreciate any further insights you have as you follow your protocol, because I'm really scratching my head over this one. Happy New Year, Catherine. Have you seen this Epstein timeline? It's the most comprehensive, blah, blah, blah. Yes, I posted that as soon as I came out as soon as it was published, I posted it. But I also wanted to thank you. You're the subscriber who made the Mr. Sunshine recommendation, and I thought that was one of the best series I have ever seen. I just absolutely loved it. And I would never have looked at it if you hadn't recommended it. It just didn't look like something I'd be interested in it. Anyway, I'll talk about it more because we're going to use it in Let's Go to the Movies. So thank you for that as well. Hi, Catherine. I hope this note finds you happy and thriving in the late January days. Given your great contributions, I'm sending you this excerpt below from today's Ben Fulford Monday article. It has the most detail I've ever come across about the underground bases, with specifics regarding many bases, including in California. I appreciate your sending me that. I've been studying the underground bases. The amount of money and investment we've made in them is extraordinary. Who says America doesn't have great infrastructure? We do, we just can't see it. Anyway, this has been a massive investment for quite some time. There's very little information. You're having to piece together all sorts of different pieces without without knowing if they're reliable or not. So I've been working on it for about a year, and at some point I hope to have a lot more to say about it. But it's a very important piece of the puzzle, and particularly for the deep state. Dear Catherine, let me begin by writing how much we, my husband and I, enjoy your website, information, interviews, everything. Okay, so then this subscriber goes on to say that they're looking for more land in Tennessee. They've moved to Tennessee. I haven't had a chance to talk to her. I've been talking to several people looking for additional recommendations. Connie Sharp is a broker in Hohenwald who has done a very good job of helping several people I know buy either homes or hunting properties in Middle Tennessee. You're over in Eastern Tennessee, so she may be too far to the west, depends on where you're looking. But I would talk with Connie You can just look up her number. It's in Hohenwald, Tennessee, and Connie Sharp. And she's listed as a realtor. I would talk to Connie about what you're looking for and see if she's appropriate or she has a recommendation of somebody closer to your area. But I'm checking with several other people, and if I get other names, I will let you know. Okay, that's it for today. Next week, again, our final Deep State Tactics, Part 9 and 10. And then the following week, Unpacking Astonishing Financial Fraud with Lucy Commissar, one of the top investigative reporters on complex financial situations. Unbelievable, unbelievable reporter and unbelievable accomplishments. And then the following week, the emerging multipolar world, U.S.-Iran relations with the Saker. We have a lot to talk about. So until next week, please remember, don't worry about whether or not there is a conspiracy. If you're not in a conspiracy, you have to start a conspiracy in 2020. Ladies and gentlemen, good night and good luck.